Welcome back to another episode of High Time for True Crime. I'm Khadijah.
And I'm Catherine.
And today we're going to be talking about Lorena.
So technically this episode is our third episode, but it's going to cover the end of episode 2 and episode 3 of the Amazon series, Lorena, Jordan Peele's series.
Yes. Wait, Jordan Peele did this?
He did.
I did not know.
Yeah.
Huh.
Our man was in on this too.
When did this come out? It was like 2009 though, right?
Oh, no, I think it was more recent than that.
2015?
Yes.
Okay.
That was it.
But yeah, just the continuation of episode 2. Where we left off was the prosecution and the defense pretty much having their opening statements for Lorena's trial. John is still a terrible fucking person. The prosecution's pretty much just like, she's crazy, she's a hot-blood Latina woman, and she needs to be put away, and she chopped his dick off because he wouldn't give her orgasms,
yeah.
Which is stupid.
It's literally stupid.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in court.
It's like the most, this case is so riddled with misogyny. And subtle racism. I'm just like,
It's a lot to take in. The defense is pretty much just like, by the end of this trial, you will realize that a life is more important than a penis, which snaps for them.
Yes, a life is always more important than a penis.
Pretty much, Lorena has been abused, and he drove her to the point of cutting his penis off. Considering that her cutting his dick off is not as bad as all the other shit that he's done to her.
No.
Like, by far.
Was she a little bit in the wrong? Of course.
I mean,
but
yeah,
was,
she cut a piece of his body off.
It was justified enough.
I mean, if it was a finger, if it was a pinky, we would not be talking about this.
No.
Honestly. But we are going to go back. Oh, no, I'm sorry. We're going to start off with pretty much the prosecution, not prosecution, the defense talking about how hard it is for them to use the battered woman's defense.
So they basically go with, in Virginia, it's called irresistible impulse.
Oh, yes.
And basically they just kind of sum it up as you, essentially it's fight or flight. Whatever takes over in that moment, it was totally out of control.
Yes.
So that's kind of how they
frame it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The first person that they call to the witness stand that we see is, John Wayne Bobbitt Gacy. And he's pretty much testifying about his relationship with Lorena.
Then we also hear from his sister-in-law, who is married to one of his douchey brothers, about an incident that occurred early on in their marriage. Basically, John and his brother's wife are trying to paint Lorena into being this absolutely crazy woman with no control over her actions, who's the abuser in the situation, which we later learn is not the case.
You and your wife were present when an incident occurred at King's Dominion?
Yes.
We were standing in line waiting for the bumper cars. All of a sudden, Lorena just, she for some reason got upset and she scratched John. And she started trying to, like, scratch his face, and she was punching him. And John just, he just stood there, because he really didn't know what was going on.
So they basically try to paint Lorena as, like, the jealous wife. And we have John's brothers and his sister-in-law testifying on behalf of John, just basically saying that Lorena's crazy and that she's, like, lashed out at him, which we all know this is very one-sided. I mean, his fucking brother's threatened to kill her.
I was gonna say, let's not forget how fucking trash both of his brothers are.
The whole family.
Yeah, because we learn about his parents later on, too, and they fucking suck as well.
Yeah,
so
this is true. But yeah, Lorena, they try to make Lorena look like she's the actual abuser and that she lashed out at her husband. And I'm just kind of like, there's two sides to, I mean, there's three sides to every story. There's his side, her side, and the truth. Granted, Lorena is more so on the truth side than John. John literally lies the whole entire fucking time. And we pretty much get to a point where Barbara Walters says the perfect thing about how men and women perceive this.
Just
except for
division.
John's sister-in-law.
Yeah.
But, you know, how men and women kind of perceive this whole entire
girl,
situation.
John's sister-in-law is probably a victim, too. If he's
probably
anything like his fucking brother, then she had Stockholm Syndrome.
I mean,
but anyway,
his brother showed his true colors very early on, so.
Yeah. Let's hear from Barbara.
I do think that men and women see this very differently.
And men see it as a man being mutilated, I think, in the most awful way a man can imagine. Many women see it as a woman abused to such a degree that she struck out at the area that was doing her the most harm.
You can still be very sensitive to the need to cut down on abuse of women and see this act as different from the act of many women who are abused, who may kill their husband.
If you're a man, you may. And you are.
But yeah, this clearly has divided the nation.
Oh, yeah. Men and women can't agree on this incident, and women were celebrating Lorena because they've been through the trauma that she had been through, and a lot of women have actually thought about doing this. Of course, they never acted on it, and, you know, it's just crazy to see how many people have, like, the most asinine response to when they're just like, what do you think about this? Do you think that she's guilty? And they're just like, well, I mean, men can't rape their wives. They're married. And, well, I think that she was wrong. She should have just left. Or, you know, just, like, random things that we just don't need to hear from people because it's stupid. Do a little bit of research and, like, listen to what people are telling you.
It makes a lot of sense that a lot of the responses that we're seeing is, like, hot mics from Jenny Jones where they're just, like, on the street. Fuck you, Jenny Jones. You're a problematic hoe, too. But anyway.
This is very, very true. And, I mean, I just love how they show how many women are there to support Lorena. And we get to see, you know, clips from the Women Against Domestic Violence, something like that.
Something like that.
There's basically an organization about domestic violence against women. And, you know, we get to see a lot of montages. And some of them are pretty fucking sad because it's literally, like, a problem. Literally a problem. It is a national crisis. There were like 4,000 women murdered by their partners like in that year, I think they were saying.
Yeah.
It was just like aggravating, heartbreaking, and just like just absolutely frustrating. Absolutely.
And women live with the knowledge that weird shit could happen at any point. You go down a dark alley and whoosh, somebody grabs you. And now men actually have to think about this shit. Yeah! It's 1994 and the shit is hitting the fan. Women are pissed. That's why they're going, yay!
It seemed to sort of shift some things. Now, it didn't totally shift things, but I think it was really, she made her point.
Women have been abused for centuries and men have been getting away with it, and now the tables are turned a little bit.
We don't need a judge or jury to tell us whether or not Lorena is telling the truth. Lorena came forward herself, said this man was battering her, this man was raping her. That's all we need to know that Lorena is telling the truth.
So they pretty much made Lorena the martyr of this movement. They had been trying to get traction for a while, and the media just was not picking up the real reason why Lorena decided to cut her husband's penis off. Like, it wasn't because she wasn't getting orgasms or some other idiotic response. Like, she was literally going through domestic abuse, mental abuse, and physical abuse. Like,
yeah, I mean, that, and like, John was an alcoholic. They had all kinds of money issues too. Oh, it's like, beyond all the scope of just the physical shit, there was so many things coming at her from so many different arenas.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, she was definitely very naive. She just moved to America, not within those like few years. She had been in America less than 5 years, I think. Yeah. And been married to him for 4.
Yeah. Whole time he was just like, I can get you sent back. I can do this.
Yeah. Telling her all of these things that aren't true. And of course, she believed him because she didn't know any better. And, you know, she thought this was going to be, not that she was, like, really looking for, like, the American dream, like, her way, her ticket in. She just wanted to have, like, a happy life. She wanted to live in America. She did like it here. But she thought that John was a good guy, and she actually trusted him, which, big mistake.
I get how she fell into it, and we'll hear more from her.
I know he groomed her. We know he groomed the fuck out of her.
We'll hear more in the next couple of clips that we play, but, like, yeah. I got married when I was 18 to somebody that turned out to be an alcoholic, and growing up like religious, like Lorena describes later on, it's just like, I can totally understand how it happened. Mm-hmm. I'm glad I got out without having something like this happen, but my heart totally goes out to her because it's just like,
Yeah.
I know what it's like to fall into the idea of the 2.5 kids and the white picket fence. And then there's a motherfucker putting holes in drywall and it all goes to hell.
Yeah. So. And I mean, it's just, yeah, it's, there are signs now, I mean, that most people are aware of abuse and like what it's, what emotional abuse is like. I mean, on social media, there are literally pages that will like
get you out of there,
give you tips on like what it is for someone to basically try to be controlling over you and things like that, and just kind of red flags that most people just don't see. I mean, of course, whenever you're in a relationship, it's all kind of rainbows and butterflies, and like you have this filter on until shit gets really real.
Yeah.
But you know, Lorena was just trying to live a happy life, and she thought that John was going to provide that for her, and she was completely blindsided by this asshole. But we get to hear a little bit about Lorena's past.
We were chaperoned. You know, everything was just innocence.
Miss Bobbitt, what is the family view concerning unchaperoned dating?
My family wouldn't allow it.
What is the family view concerning premarital sex?
My family wouldn't allow it.
From what I know is Lorena fell and is still in love with him. And he was handsome, I must say. But my nieces did not like him at all. The first time they met him, they did not like him. I think he liked to drink. And he always forgot his wallet whenever they went.
The girls, Emmeline and Mercedes, were like, wait a minute, you paid last time. Why? He doesn't pay. So they might just see something that I didn't see.
Lorena, I've been there, girl. You just got to get the fuck out when you can.
She does. And I was like, she could have so much better. And like, she doesn't even know.
No.
Like, and the people that are speaking, she's part of the Castro family that Lorena stayed with whenever she came back to the U.S. for her student visa. But, like, John just, he ain't shit.
No, he literally isn't shit. The next part we're going to play is just kind of them detailing, like, he can't hold on a job, he gets out of the military.
Yeah.
Their house gets foreclosed on.
Lorena's literally supporting, floating everything.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's just a whole
and
mess.
He still has the nerve to tear her down while she's supporting them.
He couldn't keep a job. I don't know why.
There was a nightclub right basically across the street from the apartment complex in the shopping center there that he was supposed to be bouncing in. And he bragged about being a Marine and all this, and
I don't even know if he worked there a whole week. Like I said, I don't ever remember.
He worked there 3 weeks.
I don't ever remember him working.
They bought a small home, but when John got out of the Marine Corps, their only steady income was from Lorena.
So basically, John is a fucking scrub.
Yes. Lorena pretty much made every effort to appease him, to make him happy. She thought that if she would basically fall in his good graces, that he probably would stop abusing her and that
physically
mentally
tearing her down.
Oh, yeah. She literally stole money from her job. She stole clothes. She didn't want to tell anyone about her issues, of course. And a lot of people touch on this, a lot of women touch on this in the documentary, just saying, like, women just don't really come out with this. Like, I mean, no. In casual conversation, how am I going to bring up, yeah, my husband's beating the shit out of me every fucking night, and he's also raping me. Sucks all the air out of the room. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's just something that
people don't know how to respond to it in the moment.
And people don't know how to, like, pretty much just, like, put it out there, because it's kind of like, are you going to believe me?
Yeah.
Are you going to come at me with some bullshit? And, like, you know, there's just so many different responses that people and reactions that people can have. And a lot of times people react badly, apparently, especially in that time. People didn't really believe
People don't know what to say, but people always feel the need to say something. And usually it's
really
worse.
Fucked up.
It's like, oh, well, at least he didn't do this. Or at least you got out when you didn't. It's just like, okay. But this next little bit that we talk about is the first instance of it turning physical, which it obviously has been tense and problematic from this point.
Yeah.
But when it turns physical, that's when it really escalates. And it just reminds me of a situation that happened to me. But we'll go ahead and let you guys hear about the incident, and then we'll I'll tell you guys about mine.
The very first time he punched me, we were driving back home on the highway. He's been drinking. He was zigzagging. He was going like around 85 or 90. I was scared and I told him to stop. He would not listen to me, so I grabbed the steering wheel.
Did he hurt you?
Yes, he did, sir. He hurt me.
So hearing this from Lorena took me back to a time during my marriage that my ex and I went with a friend to the Renaissance Festival, and they spent the whole day getting drunk, basically. We, like, waited in line the entire time for beer at the Renaissance Fair instead of doing anything. And so my ex insisted on... I don't even know. I didn't even eat a turkey leg or anything. I was mad.
The audacity.
Because literally I couldn't even do anything other than wait in line for beer. But, so my ex was drunk, essentially, and decided that I couldn't drive my own car back. He had to drive. And while we were in the car on the interstate, he started, like, punching my steering wheel because I didn't want him to drive, and literally left, like, a crack in my steering wheel where my airbag was, like, partially coming out. And, like, his friend was just in the back seat, and we all, like, ate at Cracker Barrel afterwards. Like, nothing happened. But it was just kind of one of those, like, first instances of, like, this isn't normal.
Normal. No.
This isn't okay. No. And, like, they're literally, like, my car was
fucked up.
Damaged afterwards. And, like, He's at any point, and, my well, airbag could have just fucking blown up.
It should have just fucking blown up. Well, we probably would have been
I would have died. But,
if he wasn't driving, it would have been better if it just blew up in his fucking face.
It just was crazy how comfortable he was acting like that with his best friend in the back seat who didn't step in, didn't do anything. It just was basically like what happened with Lorena with John's brother in the back seat. Like, this is fucking normal.
Normal. Yeah, like, it's just all bad.
Yeah.
But they pretty much do this to show the pattern of abuse that pretty much led up to this incident. And, I mean, when she gets home, like, the abuse didn't stop. Like, the cops ended up being called, and John switched up his
fucking... he flipped like a switch.
Yeah, and he was just like, you know, I didn't know what was going on. Lorena ended up sleeping in her car at her work just to get away from him. Like, she was just like, I have to get out of here. And it's just...
It's horrible.
The fact that the cops have been called multiple times and, like,
nothing
he was found not guilty.
Not even found not guilty. They didn't even do anything about it. There wasn't any, like, I'm surprised the cops even remembered this shit because it sounds like there wasn't even really an in-depth incident report. Like, it just was kind of like a, okay.
We have this incident of them just getting into argument or somebody called the cops on this moment, whatever. It was just kind of like that. It wasn't really anything. Like, we didn't get into details, but I'm pretty sure if there were details, we'd probably be horrified.
Yeah, something that comes up over and over again is people being like, well, why didn't you tell? Why didn't you say something? Why didn't you this? It's like, it's taken me years to talk about what's happened to me. Yeah. And, like, when I do, I mean, me talking about it just then was, like, the most I talk about it in most situations. It's like, you don't want to relive it. You don't want sympathy. You don't want to... It's like, you don't even want to... realize that this happened to you. Yeah. Like, why do you want to talk about
repress it?
Yeah.
And it's like, if I do have to talk about it, like, I'd much rather talk about it with, like, someone that's actually helped me work through my shit, not someone that's just going to be like, oh,
why didn't
I'm
you
so
leave?
Sorry for you.
Why didn't you or leave? Maybe it could have been worse. At least you, blah, 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 blah. It's like,
blah, 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 blah. What if, blah, blah, blah. Like, it just doesn't matter at this point. But yeah, like, Lorena is just telling her story, side of the story, and just, there's just evidence just piling up more and more against John. And we do get to hear from her neighbors, and they have a lot to say about John and Lorena's relationship.
Pushing and shoving, and then that escalated and got more violent. And I said, do you think anybody saw those things? She says, oh, definitely.
We lived in Maplewood Park Apartments. There were our neighbors. Heard a lot of arguing, but it was always John that I heard.
He was very dominating. I mean, you could see it. She was small. She was a small woman. She maybe a 105. I don't know. She was tiny.
Like, there was a time that they got to arguing, and, like, he kind of backed her down. You know what I mean? Say they would go to the grocery store. She'd be, like, carrying all the bags with her head down, all somber, and he'd be, like, walking behind her, always trying to act so macho. I mean...
She realized
She made a mistake when she married him, but I think she was way too scared to leave him.
I really like her elderly neighbors that are a couple there. Like,
I don't think they're elderly. They're like middle age, like upper middle age.
The guy seems elderly.
Damn, Catherine.
We'll not even get into my experience with the elderly, but anyways, I just feel bad because the one, the guy is like on oxygen and like clearly he's not in the best of health, but
he's willing to spill tea.
Yeah. He's that neighbor that's like always got an eye on everybody's house.
And it's crazy because like all of them are just like, we always kept an eye on her. We always asked her like if she was okay. And she just kept her head down.
Yeah,
just
we saw her like, we saw her carrying all the groceries while John was just brooding about.
Of course. And they're just like, you know, I'm not going to interfere. You know, I don't know what they have going on. They could have, I don't know, a weird relationship.
This
or whatever.
Could be some kind of like
kink
agreement.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. But at the same time, they're just like, something's not right. And I mean, once she did decide to open up and come to them, it's okay. So like whenever, if someone is being abused, like, and they come to you for help, you kind of have to take it at their own pace. You can't really just expedite or just make decisions for them because they already feel like they're out of control. You can't just sit there and take over
and
for them.
The likelihood of someone being killed by an abuser is exponentially increased as they leave. So it's just such a... It's something that, like, you have to proceed with caution.
You can't
make it about your timeline or your ideals. Because
and I mean,
it gets so much more dangerous when people try to leave.
Especially with him telling her, like, I will find you. And if I find you, I'm going to, like, have anal sex with you and, like, all kinds of just, like, crazy shit that he's saying
to her.
Yeah, I'm going
to get you deported.
Yeah, and she's just, like, you know, believing all this because John has the upper hand.
He's basically gaslit her and led her to this place where she does feel like his property. She has no say over anything. She has no control over anything.
No.
And she's just working endlessly to try and keep them afloat. Sorry if you heard my toddler for a second there. But anyways, not only do we hear from the neighbors, we also hear from the Castro family about incidents that occurred as well.
And told her to open it in front of all of us. And Lorena said, okay, thank you, and just put it next to her. And John says, aren't you going to open it? She opened the box, and it happened to be a very small underwear, a little bikini. Obviously, she got very embarrassed, and she tried to put it behind her back so none of the guys will see it. And she got up, and you could see that she was about to cry. I saw him getting, his face got really red, and he followed her and grab her by the arm and push it against the wall. I stopped where I was going because I thought he was going to hit her.
Merry fucking Christmas, John.
He's
way
so
to
gross.
Ruin it.
He's so gross.
I mean,
and
if
honestly,
you
want
to give me some cute lingerie, that's fine. Give it to me in private. But
he was just being an asshole for no reason. And then the nerve to try to fucking, like...
To get mad about
it? Beat her up in the fucking hallway... I wish a motherfucker would in my parents' house.
I would wish.
The
coroner would be pulling those tiny panties out of that motherfucker's throat. That's
yes.
all I'm going to say.
We would have serious issues. And the Castro family, they were like, we never liked him. And we knew from the get that he was a bad guy. So when we saw that shit, she was just like, I thought he was going to hit her. You know when she said that, she was prepped and ready. Like,
yes.
She was about to, like, come after him. Like, come for his jugular. They
and
don't
not
play.
His genitals. Sorry, I had to.
But, you know, it just shows, like, John is just an asshole.
And when it comes down to it, there's people just coming out of the woodwork.
Oh, yes. They are literally in... There's a whole, like, 5-minute montage of people just being like, yes. And here's just a small little snippet of all the bullshit that Lorena had to endure.
We'd responded to complaints of domestic violence at their residence about half a dozen times in the past few years. In one case, we arrested John and charged him with assault and battery.
She would come over and I would see the marks on her throat. She would have rug burns on her arms. She had a bump on her head one night and bruises like through her back.
He got upset with her at a bar because someone looked at her and therefore he yelled and jerked her and got very angry with her. And
she had bruises on her head. She was really, really upset.
I heard the ruckus upstairs, running and banging, and heard her howling. And she had said that Housen had raped her. I just gave him that those articles on rape and domestic violence.
So many people witnessed Lorena's abuse, and the media is finally publishing, like, the truth. Instead of mocking her, like, yeah. They literally are finally putting a little bit of what is actually going on out into, like, the world.
Now, was anybody writing retractions or apologizing?
Hell no. Of course not.
But this did kind of become a time where the media was focusing on spousal issues.
And I mean, they spent an endless amount of time, like, covering John and, like, covering up for him and making it seem like he was, like, the victim. But this is when this is kind of when everyone kind of flipped on John and was just like, wow, like, Lorena isn't a fucking crazy, fiery Latino woman that doesn't get to have orgasms. Go figure. Come on now. Like, people come.
The first vibrator was apparently invented by Cleopatra involving bees. So, obviously, women have been finding alternative ways to get their nut.
Yeah.
Without, like, having to take a knife to anybody. So.
Like, there's no reason for any of this. Like, it doesn't make any fucking sense, especially if you're a fucking woman. But, anyways, women. You know, women are sticking up for Raina. They had already been sticking up for her, but, like, now they're just kind of just trying to, like, push it to the spotlight so that they can, you know, ride her coattails, not in a bad way, I think in a good way, because she literally was, like, the story got so much attention that it was just, like, the things that we can do with this.
Yeah.
The positive that we can bring to this.
Instead of becoming, like, a scapegoat, she became, like, a champion. She became...
The media tried to turn it into a scandal. Instead of it being a scandal, they can make it an actual positive story where a woman was able to get away from her abuser. And the world will actually have a better understanding. People might actually, I don't know, fucking think for 5 seconds.
Yeah.
About what they say before they fucking open their mouths. We then get to the point where they're talking to John on the stand, and it's about how John always likes to have anal sex, and not just any type of anal sex, forceful anal sex, and he's mentioned it to quite a few people, apparently, and we get to hear from them, which it's uncomfortable. It's so uncomfortable, like, listening to this.
That he liked to make girls squirm and yell and make them bleed and yell for help.
He said that the way he liked to have sex was for sex, because that turned him on.
He liked to make girls squirm, and he liked to fuck them up the ass.
He liked to F them up the ass.
He did it. Anal sex.
Did he ask you if he could?
No.
Did you give him permission to?
No.
Did he use any lubricant?
No.
Was it forced?
Yes, it did. Yeah.
Were you injured?
Yes, I was.
What injuries did you sustain?
I was bleeding, sir.
Did he ever threaten to do it again?
Yes, sir. Yes.
How frequently?
Every time we would have sex.
So we just realized we should have probably put a trigger warning in the beginning of the episode. We did not, but if you've been listening since episode one, you know that this case is just...
fucked.
Yeah, it's absolutely horrific, the things that Lorena endured. Granted, it was horrific for John to experience getting his dick cut off, but...
You know what, I'm gonna say it. I don't care that he got his penis cut off.
That's literally the least, I mean...
the least of his worries. Because you know what? He does some bullshit after all of this. But, you know, we'll get to that.
We'll get there. Episode 4 is just crazy.
It's going to be us just screaming into the microphones. But, yeah, like, Lorena literally gets on the stand and has to recount all the times that he has raped her. And it is heart-wrenching.
It is.
To listen to her speak, it's just like she's just like literally finding just enough energy to push the air out of her mouth just to form like a small word, like,
but she was just a hot-blooded Latina, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, do you see how like vulnerable she is on the stand? She literally is,
she's like, this shell of a person.
Yeah, she's like whispering into the microphone. Like, she literally doesn't have any type of confidence behind anything that she's saying, because that's how fucked it was. She had nobody to talk to about this. And now she's having to sit here in a courtroom full of people observing her who have all have opinions on her. And half those people are the media who are
and
printing lies.
And also,
about her.
Beyond having opinions about her, it's like her fate is literally in the hands of the 12 jurors and the judge.
Yeah.
So it's that much more pressure. There's a language barrier. There's all kinds of stuff going on here.
And she's just like, you
she's
know,
young.
Lorena thought that if she just told her story and she told the cops what had happened, that they would believe her and that they would get her away from John and John would never ever be able to touch her ever again. And that's completely not what's happening. Like, she's having to get on the stand, be vulnerable, recount all of these things over and over again. And not only was it traumatic when it fucking happened, of course, duh, it's even more traumatic to have to relive that shit in front of other people. And she literally tried everything that she possibly could to hide this from people.
And what's hard, it's like, from my personal experience, it's like, when you look back at it all, you start adding it all together, and then it becomes like one giant picture. And then it kind of starts sinking in, like exactly what you went through and how much it was. And it's like how much you gave yourself away during this time only for it to amount to this.
Yes. And it's just heartbreaking. Like, I mean, I don't even know any other words really right now to, like, that's just for lack of better words.
Yeah.
Like, just to see her, honestly, like, I just want to, like, get up, go through the fucking TV screen, like, give her a fucking hug and, like, hold her hand and be like, you know what, John? Fuck you!
Yeah.
And fuck all of your family! Like, this is, it's just, it's awful. And she's having to have the whole nation pretty much witness this.
Yeah. And, like, still to this day, it's like, until I actually watched this series, I was guilty of, like, everybody else, just, like, knowing what the media portrayed it as. Mm-hmm. And, like, I didn't have any idea that there was any kind of domestic abuse involved. I had no idea that John went on to be such a fucking shitbag.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's just like, whoa. Holy crap.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, you know, they put John back on the stand to ask him some questions, and he's just tripling down. He's pretty much just like, no, like, I told Lorena that I was leaving her, and that's why she lashed out on me. Also, like, she couldn't have orgasms, so, like, I don't really see, you know, why I have to even repeat myself. Like, that's why she went crazy. And I'm just like, really? Like, really, John? Really? And honestly, I'm just like, if John's trial went after Lorena's, he would have wholeheartedly been found guilty.
Oh, 100%.
100 billion, trillion, gajillion, whatever percent would have been found guilty. There's no doubt in my mind at all.
Mm-mm.
And he's just lying.
And I feel like, I wonder how the judge felt, since it was the same judge in both trials. Yeah. I wonder how that judge felt and still feels to this day about...
Well, I mean, it wasn't up to the judge. The judge just had to be there to make sure everything was, like...
Yeah, but I mean, like... I just wonder how it feels for him to have to,
I mean, but yeah, it just pretty much, you know, we pretty much get to find out that, you know, like, of course, like, the abuse just kind of gradually increases. I mean, he pretty much was getting away with whatever he wanted, and he was also realizing that, like, he can groom her to do and, you know, react however he wants. And then the defense presents a form to John, and this is where things get a little bit interesting, because they're like,
really now?
Really now?
I'm going to need you to look at the bottom of this page, because really now?
Yes, so we'll play the quote.
Remember this form, sir, that you filled out and signed in front of Kaplan and Williams with a family advocacy group, Quantico Marines.
I can't say I have.
You have.
I can't say I don't remember this form at all.
You've got a questionnaire which he has signed, where he admitted instances where he had struck his wife and so forth.
I don't remember this form at all.
And he says, I don't remember any of this. And I said, well, look at the last page and tell me if you can identify the signature. And he said, yeah, that's me.
I really want to make a John Hancock joke, but I won't. I'm going to just let you say something. The way you just looked at me.
Oh my God. John is pretty much shaking his panties on the fucking witness stand, because he is, Like, they are pulling out facts. Yeah. And he is lying at every fucking chance he gets. He is lying, 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 lying his ass off.
Anyways, we won't even make the joke. Go ahead fill in the blanks yourself.
You guys can, yeah. Anyways, like, he literally will not stop lying. And this is exactly when the media and everyone else turns against him. He exits the courthouse and people are literally booing him. And I'm just like, finally. Where have y'all been?
Exactly. But this is when we, like, originally learned about the irresistible impulse charge and just kind of how the defense is going to use this to
frame their
to get Lorena's case tried fairly.
Pretty much. And I mean, John's trial should have happened after Lorena's. Like, it should have. It would have completely changed the whole it would change history. But that's the end of episode 2. And then we pretty much transition. Well, we will be transitioning.
Yes.
Into episode 3. So episode 3, it opens up with everyone's, the public's opinion about everything. They're pretty much just like, well, we think that Lorena did the right thing. We also think that Lorena did the wrong thing. We also think that Lorena probably should have just left. And blah, 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 blah. All other bullshit that we've been hearing.
Totally irrelevant shit.
Yeah, I just hate having to hear the public's opinion constantly, especially at this time. Because if it was 2020, things would have been way different.
I kind of wish that Twitter had been a thing during this.
Oh my god, Twitter's a cesspool.
I love it.
But we also, we get to find out that the week of Lorena's trial, the beginning of her trial, that's the same week that Skategate broke.
Nancy Kerrigan, I'm sorry that happened to you.
She got bust at her kneecaps. And people were pretty much, they were still extremely invested in Lorena, but this is pretty much the height of,
the 90s.
Yeah, this is the height of the 90s scandals. But, you know, people were invested. They really wanted to see how this case was going to go. They needed more information. They were just consuming this for months. And, I mean, Courtroom TV was just propelling those numbers.
The 24-hour news cycle.
Oh, yeah. Even CNN was just, like, reporting about it, even though, like, they were supposed to be reporting about, like, I don't know.
Yeah, it was like, they talked about how, like, they were talking about world events and people were pissed because they stopped covering the case.
Like, really that's fast. How serious it was.
Yeah.
Lorena, we get to hear from her, and she's talking about how, like, the reporters used to be following her everywhere. They were always outside of her house. And she just wanted to have, like, a moment of peace, like, alone. And fucking Hernaldo Rivera, he fucking stalks her. He literally sends her pictures of his headshots, like, that are signed. Yeah. He chases her down.
His camera crew was, like, pointing at the cameras and her blinds.
It's just ridiculous. Like, it's absolutely chaotic. And, I mean, this lady has been through abuse. And now you guys are literally harassing her and following her around every step that she takes, every breath that she fucking takes. Like, it's way too much. And I mean, I can only imagine how overwhelming that could be on top of that, having to go to court every day and literally lay out your whole entire personal business about how you were abused and you were constantly raped. Like, this is not good. But I can only imagine her emotional state.
We do see her glow up. We do. Lorena in all of her glory. But
and she looks great. She looks great. And I mean, she definitely takes the situation. We later learned
that she made a life of herself.
She did. She took the lemons and made lemonade, lemon bars, lemon meringue pie, and all the other shit.
Lemon bars.
But, you know, people were showing up at her house in the middle of the night, and it just was very startling for her. But we also get to hear from Lorena's defense attorney on what they were pretty much facing going on into this trial. And they pretty much are just saying, like, we have the battered woman defense, we have the
irresistible impulse.
Yes, and that's pretty much what we're going with. And the hard part about that is just to prove, like, in that moment that Lorena had the irresistible impulse and she could not control her actions or her emotions and things like that. And that's really hard to say, I mean, because Lorena said up until a certain moment, like, she saw the knife.
She was fully aware of what was happening.
And then the next thing she knows, she's literally at work.
Her and Robbie's Game Boy and John's dick are all going for a ride down the road.
Yeah. So, I mean, they have some pretty...
They have some obstacles, but...
Oh, yeah. And I definitely think that the prosecution... I mean, they have, of course, a very good case. I mean, she did cut his penis off. Like, we know it was her.
But the defense has people like Susan Feaster, who we hear from. She does a really good job explaining the conditions that Lorena was facing and how that impacted her.
So, Dr. Susan Feaster, she is an expert and she specializes in domestic violence. She notices all the signs from the get from when she observes Lorena. I mean, she was point blank period in an abusive relationship. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And just from the few things that Lorena mentions, like, she's just like, yep, she has PTSD. Yep, she has been mentally abused. Yes, she's been physically abused. She shows the signs of a person that has been under constant, I mean, just
emotional abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, literally the gambit of abuse.
A fucking here cocktail of, like, abuse. Like, literally. Like, he pretty much did it all. And
he was in the military, which I dated a Marine one time.
Oh, yeah.
And I can just imagine the way that he would talk to her. Like, a goddamn drill sergeant.
And she's super small, and he's literally, like,
he was tall.
He was tall. He's definitely a lot bigger, obviously a lot stronger than her. So, like, it didn't really matter if she wanted to fight back. He would be able to kill her with his bare hands. Like, that's just that. And, you know, John was her first love, and she really, really wanted to make their relationship work, especially because she was Catholic. And, I mean, like, divorce isn't really a thing when you're Catholic. Like, that's, like, the ultimate no-no.
Yeah.
And, you know, she wanted to just have a happy life and be with him, but John obviously had other plans.
Yeah.
And unfortunately,
speaking of being Catholic, another thing that really goes against Catholicism is birth control and especially abortion, which we can kind of segue into.
Yes. So we find out.
This is really hard too.
It's from her being on the stand. We find out from her being on the stand that she was pregnant at one point, and
John
was being
just a piece of shit. But she announces to him that she's pregnant. She stopped taking her birth control. She intended to get pregnant.
She thought that this baby was going to help her marriage. She thought that he would stop abusing her and that he would, you know, love her more if...
She literally said she thought this would be happiness. Like, this would bring happiness.
And they would actually be, like, a family together.
But instead,
John insists that she gets an abortion. Not only does he insist that she gets an abortion, he takes her to get an abortion, and he's constantly berating her. He's
telling her this is what bad girls go to do, that the needles are going to go through her bones,
that
she's going to
pass
out,
that they're going to knock her out, like, all these things. And Lorena gets there, and she's literally shaking like a leaf.
They take her away from him.
Yeah, she is physically, like, not able to do this. And I'm like, if you guys had to remove her from her husband while you guys were abortion clinic, why would
you guys have gotten her some
kind
of aftercare?
Or got her out of there into a shelter or something.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like more could have been done.
Definitely.
And it's just so disgusting. Like, it just gets so much worse every single time, like, they bring up something or they put John on the stand. I feel like there's just more and more bullshit that he got away with.
Yeah.
And he forced her to get an abortion.
Yeah. And
after she thought this was going to help her
and
relationship.
And factoring in her cultural beliefs everything on top of that, it's just, like, so much more traumatizing.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, on top of that, she literally was paying for everything. He literally couldn't even keep a job.
Mm-mm.
He couldn't even keep a job. And then he wants to make... And then he's telling her that, oh, you live well above your means and that's why, like, we're struggling. John, we're struggling because you don't have a fucking job. You're the one that's living well above your means. And Lorena is the one that's having to provide for you. Like, do you not have a retirement plan? Like, you don't have anything?
You were in the military and you were married. You were getting
the big bucks.
He
probably got kicked out.
Who even knows?
But anyways, like, this worthless drunk decides that he's just going to, like, tell her that, you know, she's not worth it and, like, that she pretty much, you know, is a bad person because she's getting an abortion. And just, like, seeing her facial expression when she was talking about this, like, it just makes me so fucking angry. It's devastating. It makes me so angry. And, like, I just really cannot believe that, like, so many people have kind of, like, failed her, because I really honestly think that in the abortion clinic that they could have definitely helped her if they had to remove her. Like, that's red flags
all
around.
Over the place. But, you know, as alone as she was in those moments and as alone as she felt, the community really banded together. We especially see this with the Hispanic community because they start coming out to support her en masse.
Oh, yeah, they definitely come out. So they wait, and this is like the middle of winter. They literally wait outside of the courthouse for the few moments that Lorena walks in and walks out, and the Hispanic community is there for her. They are cheering for her. They are chanting her name. They are giving her that support.
They're holding signs.
Yeah, it's a complete 180 from the way Lorena felt when she was in this abusive relationship with John. She felt like she had no one to turn to. She felt like she couldn't leave. He was insulting her, insulting her culture, insulting her clothes, insulting her hair, insulting the fact that, you know, she has to work and all the time and she doesn't have a lot of money. Like, he literally brought her down to the lowest point. She was a shell of a person. He made her get an abortion, and that just made her even more not herself. And the Hispanic community came out and showed Lorena that, like, she is worth it, that she is a wonderful human being that deserves to have a fair life and deserves, you know, to be happy.
Yeah.
And I think that was a beautiful moment. That was, like,
pretty much... It made me want to cry. I mean,
I cried. Yeah. I did cry because it was just beautiful to see that. And, you know, after that, we pretty much... They transition into showing us footage of battered women and just kind of... Just giving us the perspective of what it was like to be a woman in this time period and just kind of how women were out crying for help and constantly, like, you know, needing to have assistance, constantly going to the hospital after being abused by their husbands or their boyfriends or
being
whomever.
Being killed.
Like, it was just ridiculous, and it's just so, so, so horrifying.
It just contextualizes what a crisis this is on a national level and has been for
a very long... I mean, this is just the beginning of time. Women have been abused and treated like shit by men. Yeah. And, you know, it's just not something that's really new. It's just now getting attention because it's been sensationalized, been scandalized because of what Lorena did. And it's much bigger than that. It's much bigger than what... I mean, a life is worth more than a penis. Like, honestly.
If we need to circle back to
We need to circle back to anything. And, you know, once this really happened, this is kind of like a can of worms that was opened up. And the public wasn't really prepared to have this conversation. And, you know, we get to see a lot more people saying, blah, 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 fuck, blah, 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 blah.
And what sucks is, like, as quickly as they did start actually having the conversation. Yeah.
It turned to shit.
It turned to shit. And then as soon as the trial was over, there was no more really speak about domestic violence.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, like, the women's organization was pretty much, you know, trying to make sure that while we have the spotlight, that we can actually get our voices heard, we can actually get some things passed, and, you know, try to speak up for these women. And I mean, of course, we know that John isn't the first piece of shit abuser.
No.
You know, and the victims are telling their stories, and they're saying, you know, like, I didn't say anything, and I didn't leave because my abuser basically told me that they would find me, and they would straight up fucking kill me and kill anybody else that I love. And that's... I mean, that's emotional abuse. Like, these people have been emotional abused. They've been groomed. They've been conditioned. Ladies, if you are under the age of whatever, I would say probably like 21, and a man says, oh, you're mature for your age, he's probably fucking grooming you. Like, he probably is. Most of the time, a guy that's probably the age of your dad that is looking for you and you're 18 years old, he's not looking for you because you're a fucking great person. He's grooming you.
Yeah.
Like... Sorry, you're naive, you're gullible, as smart as you may think you are. I thought I was the bee's knees when I was fucking 18 years old, but I didn't know shit. I was naive.
Yeah.
And Lorena was in the same position. She thought that she was going to have a wonderful time, this would be a wonderful marriage. She thought that she was able to fix her marriage whenever she was in it. But the truth of the matter is, an abuser is always going to be an abuser. There's nothing that's going to stop that, and you have to...
You have to realize nothing's going to fix it. A child is literally going to exacerbate the problem. It's not going to fix the problem.
It might just create another cycle.
As I say, it's going to make things so much worse.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, they speak about battered women syndrome, you know, over and over and over again in this documentary. And, I mean, it was something that was very new. And it wasn't really being used in the courts as often. And even if it was, then, like, it wasn't really taken seriously.
Yeah.
But now with Lorena's story, I mean, she pretty much was able to put it out there, like, yes, like, you can be abused for years on end and still stay, and then one day just finally kind of, like,
just snap.
Yeah. And I'm like, John literally pushed her to that instant. That's why we're saying, like, her cutting his dick off has no fucking comparison, like, to what she had to encounter by his hand. Like, he literally every single day for 4 whole entire fucking years, like, just tortured this poor woman. And she felt like there was no way out. He always had the upper hand. And, I mean, they even mentioned that, like, even up to six months after people leave their abusers, like, they're more likely to be killed. Yeah. 6 whole fucking months. 6 months.
Yeah.
And John was like, I will get you deported. I will find you. I will hunt you down. I know where you work. I know where you go. I know who your friends are. Like, I will find you.
Yeah.
And I mean, she's, of course, keeping her stuff at the neighbor's apartments, but, like, what the fuck is that gonna do? He's gonna just march downstairs and across the fucking street and, like, go knock on their door. Like,
yeah.
You know, I can understand why she didn't feel safe or feel like, okay, I can just go ahead. I have my stuff at my neighbor's house. I can just, like, dip off. No. Yeah.
And also, she's, like, too close. It's embarrassing, too. It's, like, it not is. Something you yeah. even... You have to admit it to yourself before you can even admit it to other sure. people and ask for help. So,
yeah.
Again, it just bothers me that people are like, why didn't she do this? Why didn't she do that? You literally will never know until you're in that position. And mm-hmm. even when you're in that position, you won't even know, which is what we... later hear from Lorena about that night. It's like,
oh, yeah.
Even in that position presently, she didn't know how she was going to react.
And then people are also just like, why did you get a protective order in place? Which, I mean, honestly, that really wouldn't really do shit for her. I mean, it's a piece of paper. A lot of people get killed even after they get a restraining order and all that stuff.
Or better yet, if your abuser doesn't show up to court, then they can't grant or extend the TPO. They just nullify. I know, because it happened to me.
But anyways, Lorena actually files a police report with the police department, well, tries to, on June 21st, 1993, which is 2 days before the incident. She goes up there to go file a report, and she pretty much, you know, writes it all out and everything, and she just needs it to get, I guess...
like, notarized.
Notarized or whatever. And the guy that's supposed to notarize it says that he can't notarize it because his secretary is at lunch. What the fuck does your secretary have to do with you signing a fucking piece of paper?
Better yet. To validate this woman's claim. If this girl is at lunch or whatever, she's going to come back within an hour, I would assume. So if this woman that's in front of you telling you this story... can't sit there in the safety of your office for an hour till your secretary gets back, mm-hmm. then why are you in law enforcement? Because your duty is to protect and serve, and you are doing neither in this moment.
Ain't no government job being given no hour-plus lunches. Come on now. Mm-mm. Like, that was just so dumb. And, like, she basically had to leave. Like, she had other things to do that day, and on top of that, you know, John's literally on her fucking ass about every time she decides to leave, breathe, or just exist. And, you know, this pretty much is, like, we get to learn more about, like, the days leading up to the incident. And
no wonder. I mean, you just really get this whole picture and you're like, fuck, it could have been so much worse.
It could have
Somebody could have died. Both of them could have died. It could have been a murder-suicide situation.
And on top of that, like, she was in the process of trying to get away from him.
She was taking the steps that she needed to get away.
And what happened?
The system failed her.
Yeah, the system failed her in multiple occasions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we hear from the neighbors. The neighbors are just like, you know, we're trying to get her to a shelter. We're trying to figure out what we can do. But every single night, you know, every day she brings more stuff over to our house. And every night she goes and sleeps at the house with him. Yeah. And they just don't understand it. And I'm like, she can't just get up and leave. She can't. You're not hearing the things that he's saying. But, I mean, I am happy and I applaud them for wanting to help her and, like, listening to her story and just kind of being a support system for her as much as they can. But they also know at the same time, like, I can't pop off and do whatever I want to about the situation without Lorena's consent because it is her situation. It's not theirs.
Yeah.
But they pretty much, you know, try to help her as much as they can. And then we get to hear Lorena's perspective. And she's pretty much talking about what happened the day of June 22nd, 1993, which is basically like the night of, because I mean, it happened like in the middle of the night.
It happened at like 4 a.m.
Yeah, it happened like, 2 or 3 a.m. So they pretty much, this is what happened. So Lorena pretty much is at work and John is calling and blowing up her phone. It's just like, when are you getting home? And
this pizza's not going to fucking heat itself up.
Basically.
And I can't make pizza rolls for myself.
And he's just basically just like, you know, like, when are you getting home? She's like, I'm working. I have shit to do.
Yeah.
And he's just like,
I gotta pay the bills, bitch.
Yeah. He's like, I'm going to go out with my friend Robbie, which Robbie also lives with them, which I'm just like, even more bullshit. But, you know, she's just like, I'm working until late. Like, I don't have time to deal with you. Like, just fuck off somewhere. Yeah. So, John, then pretty much, like, we get to hear
John
from him.
John gets white girl wasted.
Yeah. He's pretty much, well, he's sitting in present day. John is sitting in his fucking one, his recliner with the open seat.
With his big gulp.
Yeah, with his sippy cup, sitting there slurring his fucking words. And he's talking about how, oh, he only had, like, two shots and, like, three beers with Robbie because they didn't want to get drunk.
And Robbie comes correct and tells us about how they had, like, five beers and John had even more shots than him.
Oh, yeah. And she was, and the prosecutor was just like, or the defense was just like, so you guys were drunk. And he was just like, yeah,
for
sure.
And I drove, which is a whole other side note.
Yeah, and I'm just like, ugh, you guys are both trash. Anyways, they drive home, and John pretty much comes in, and Lorena is from her perspective, she's asleep, she's laying down, and she's just, you know, minding her own fucking business, napping, sleeping, dreaming.
And here comes dude buddy trying to flail around on top of her with some whiskey dick.
Pretty much, like, tries to come in, and, like, she's just, like, he grabs my panties, and he, like, tries to, like, you know, have sex with me, well, and then he does force me to have sex with him. John's just like,
meanwhile, John doesn't even remember, I don't know if we did or didn't have sex that night.
Yeah, I just remember, like, you know, her playing with me, and then, like, me just being like, I'm dead tired, I don't know if you know what it's like to be dead tired. John, you weren't fucking tired, you were drunk. You were fucking drunk. Shut up. And he was just like, you know, I even fold my clothes. You know good and goddamn well you didn't fold your own clothes.
Or why would you feel the need to fold your clothes unless you were trying to hide the fact that you were shit-faced
drunk? You probably don't
even
do laundry. Shut up, John. But anyways, he's just like, yeah. And she, like, you know, like, was playing with me. And then I just remember kind of, like, waking up and, like, rolling on top of her. And then, like, I fell back asleep. So you mean to tell me that you woke up and your drunken slumber, sorry, not your drunken, your tiredness, because you weren't, you're quote unquote drunk, and you rolled over on top of your wife, who you don't deserve, and you just fell asleep on top of her. You weigh like twice her weight. You think that she was not going to just, you think she was going to sit there and let you lay on top of her like that with all of your fucking body weight? Shut up, John. He makes me sick. He makes me so fucking sick. Anyways, John basically says that that's what happened. Lorena is just like, well, he rolled on top of me and he basically raped me.
Yeah.
And she said that after it happened, he basically rolled on over and went the fuck to sleep because he doesn't think that there's anything wrong with forcing sex onto his wife because
she's
what's marital
property,
rape? Marital rape, it doesn't exist, apparently. And it's just so fucking awful. It's just so awful. And we get footage of Lorena, like, on the stand. She's just literally, like, just, like, looking for the words, like, to pretty much say. And they're asking her all these questions of her having to recount this
night. And she literally doesn't remember.
She doesn't. So this
is fragmented.
Yeah, this is what she says. So she says that after he pretty much raped her, she went to the kitchen to basically calm herself down, get a glass of water, because, I mean, this is, I can only imagine what number of time this has happened. And he is sleeping in the bed, and she pretty much goes to the kitchen, and she says that she opens the door, and the door illuminates, like, the knife block. And she says she just remembers grabbing the knife,
and that
nothing
was it.
Else. And the next thing, when she comes to,
she's in the car driving.
Yeah, she's in the car driving, and she's pretty much at work. And when she gets to work, she's, like, trying to, you know, figure out. She has a knife. Her hand is bloody, and she's just kind of, like, tosses the knife in the trash can.
On top of some KFC.
Yeah, and, like, you know, is just kind of, like, trying to get into the job. And then she ends up going to Jana, who is her boss's, who is her boss. She ends up going to her house, and she's just kind of, like, you know, like,
Where do we go from here?
Yeah, where do we go from here? And she's just like, I cut his penis off. And Jana's just like, you did what?
Yeah.
Like, literally,
and
he's just like...
And then you came here.
And then you came here. We need to go to the police station. And, you know, this is the only time that Jana, like, I can actually, like, root for her. But she's just like, you know, we're going to the police station. You need to go tell your side of the story. And she was just like, you know, John's been raping me. And she goes to the police station, tells them everything that happened. And they do a rape kit.
Yeah, they're literally John and
or Lorena. Or physical evaluation.
Yeah, John and Lorena are both at the hospital at the same
on
time.
On separate wings.
Yeah.
Like, that's how, I can only imagine. I'm like, you guys couldn't have taken her to any other fucking hospital? Really?
I mean, they are in Bumblefuck, Virginia, but...
But still, at the same time, yeah, like, that's just a lot. And, you know, Lorena's just thinking, okay, well, if I just tell my side of the story, then everything will be all right. And she talks to a police officer with no lawyer present, nothing. And she just basically tells them that, you know, like, I...
This is what happened to me on a regular basis.
Yeah. She, yeah,
which,
she's...
Side note, lawyer up, baby. Innocent or guilty, lawyer up.
Lawyer up, yeah. Never talk to a police officer by yourself. Like, even if you have to wait for a fucking public defender or some shit.
Whatever, like, you gotta do, don't say a damn thing. Because
no.
It can and will be used against you.
Oh,
especially
yeah.
If you're innocent.
Oh, yeah. For sure. And, I mean, she pretty much tells him over and over again she only remembers picking up the knife and not much after that. And she was just driving towards work. And that's where we're going to end things. And
yes.
We will pick up... In episode 4.
Tune in next week to hear about what the outcome of the trial was and also
what
the hell happened
afterwards. Yeah, because it's a whole fucking mess. Lorena's great, but
yes.
John is a mess.
Anyways,
but
we're
yeah.
going to go ahead and shamelessly plug our social medias here. We're on all platforms at High Time for True Crime, and our email address is hightimefortruecrime@gmail.com.
And I'm going to go to bed now because I'm really tired.
Good night.
How the fuck do we start our episodes again?
Hi, and welcome back to another episode of High Time for True Crime. I'm Catherine.
And I'm Khadijah. And today we'll be talking about... I'm sorry.
I'll take...